Hi everyone, and happy new year, and start that again.
Oh dear, new year, same shit.
Yes. Reports coming in from the Celtic training camp. Neil Lennon has barricaded himself in his room. Negotiators are struggling to decipher his drunken ramblings, but an official has told them he's demanding the return of Brendan Rodgers in a bag of cans.
And Gaza's going to turn up with some chicken legs
and a fishing rod.
Right, I need to go to the toilet. 2 minutes.
We'll go now into the classic match.
No, we'll no. We'll go now into the toilet because I need to go for another pee. Believe it
again.
Or not.
So, I know. Again.
Nightmares. Right, 2 seconds.
92nd minute. Davis Odds. Ed Munson on. Ed Munson.
Ed
Munson. Part of the Munsters.
Yep, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Though. Yep.
Ian Durant picking the balls up at the balls? Picking the ball up at drives. Say that again. Are you still there?
I think you need some WD-40 in that door there, by the way.
That was me. That was my arse.
Letting out a little pump.
Right, no, I thought I'd better get relaxed to enjoy this next section of the podcast.
Relaxed? I've got my trousers off and I'm here a wank at this one.
I was nothing new there then, eh? Didn't hate me fucking recording a podcast.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, Derek, and happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you too, and happy new year to all our listeners.
We had
a bit of a stramash at the start of recording this, so the quality might not be as good as it is normally. The content will certainly be as quality as ever, but the actual quality of the sound recording, I've had issues with Skype, so has Dave. It's been an absolute jinx to the new year, hasn't it?
It's took us about an hour just to get to this stage, Derek, so hopefully it'll no conk out or anything like that halfway through. So
hopefully not. Just think of me, I've got to edit this now as well.
Exactly, nightmares.
Yes, but in terms of the football we've got to cover, it's been pretty, pretty good, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been superb, mate. It's been absolutely superb.
Yes, 3 wins and an absolute meltdown from the Orcs, so we've got that to cover in this podcast.
Can't wait.
So, we may as well batter on, go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. So, the first game we've got to cover is Friday the 20th of December. It was away to Hibs and we won 3-0. There was one change from the last time we played. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Barisic, Jack, Arfield, Kamara, Aribo, Defoe and Kent. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Edmondson, Halliday, Polster, Ojo, Barker and Stewart. And it was pretty convincing, wasn't it?
Derek, first half display, as you're about to get into, was just absolutely sublime, wasn't it? Some of the football we played was absolutely devastating. They were an absolute joy to watch, and arguably probably the best that we've played so far this season. Would you agree?
Quite possibly out with the League Cup final, certainly. I mean, it was going to be a potential banana skin. Hibs
yes.
were coming onto a good game ever since they brought in their new manager. They were starting to make their way up the table, and we just obliterated them, as you can alluded to there.
Yep.
And within 8 minutes, we were 2-0 up. So. Was that the first can of Pepsi Max getting opened there as well?
Did you hear that?
I heard that in the background, Dave.
It sure is. It's actually cherry Pepsi Max, Derek, which I'm quite partial to as well. I quite like the ginger stuff as well. I mean, Derek, did you ever think that Pepsi Max will actually get back in contact with us with the amount of advertising that we put their way?
No, after you saying you like the cherry stuff, you know, that's
cherry's good.
That's hard drive checking worthy, that.
cherry stuff, and the ginger stuff is also quite nice as well. So there you go.
So on the third minute, we went 1-0 up with Ryan Kent scoring. It was a throw-in on the right to Hibbs, played backwards. The defender was chasing it, but so was Aribo. The defender passed back to the keeper. Aribo kept chasing it. Keeper kicked out, but Aribo got a foot to it. The ball went straight to Kent on the edge of the box, who done brilliantly to control it, and then a good shot past the defender and into the back of the net. Brilliant goal.
Fantastic. First-time shot, Derek. Really accurate, really clinical. And it just showed you the amount of pressure that our forwards were putting on Hibs right for the start. And thankfully, it paid off quite early. It settled a few nerves and completely rattled them at the same time.
Yep, absolutely. In the fifth minute, Hibs up the park on the right. The defender gets into the box. The angle was narrow and hits a shot and hits the side netting. On the eighth minute, we went 2-0 up with Aribo scoring. It was down the right-hand side with Aribo. He gets fouled but keeps upright, received the ball. Lovely ball to Jack on the right of the box. Cuts it back to Aribo, who had a lovely shot into the top left corner. Outstanding goal. You know, there was Aribo already set up Kent's goal, and then now he's set up his own goal and scored his own goal as well. Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely fantastic finish, Derek. I think we were all a wee bit sort of worried, a few games before that about what was going to be Aribo's best position. And we were a wee bit sceptical about him playing on the right-hand side. But it was absolutely tremendous. And that goal was just sheer quality, Derek. It really was. And as you say, puts the pressure on, sets up Kent for the first goal, and then that was just, you know, sublime finishing from him. Absolutely fantastic.
Yep, absolutely. So in the 19th minute, it was a good move down the left with Arfield linking with Kent, who had a shot. It was going goal-bound and deflected wide for the corner. 22nd minute, good possession on the edge of the Hibs box. Kent slipped a lovely ball through the defence to Aribo, who got in space and beat the offside. He controlled it. The keeper narrowed the angle. Aribo had a shot, but the keeper made a good save.
Yeah.
30th minute, there was a break up the park on the right by Hibs. Had a shot across goal from the edge of the box on the right. McGregor got his fingertips to it and it went behind. I don't think it was goal-bound and no corner was given either, which was incorrect from the linesman and ref.
Okay.
32nd minute, Hibs with possession, had a shot from 25 yards and it went well wide. 38th minute, we had a lot of possession, probing in and around the box. Ball played to the left, Barisic played a lovely cross into the middle of the box. A good header by Tavernier, but a comfortable save in the end, but nonetheless by the keeper. And that rounded out the first half. It was kind of summarised in that we never had too many clear-cut chances, but we were devastating going forward. At the same time, Hibs were still quite quick and dangerous on the break as well, but our defence was just more than a match to it.
That was the difference, Derek. We were putting them under a lot of pressure, but we're still very confident because the defence looked totally solid. And that, for me, was a big thing because we've seen it previously, you know, in seasons gone by, we've maybe been, you know, we've done really well going forward and our defence has let us down. But, you know, they really did look solid at that point. And, you know, going in 2-0 up at half-time at Easter Road, just a fantastic result and great all-round performance in the first half.
Yep, absolutely. So, into the second half, Hibs made two changes at half-time. They had to do something and to try and negate how good we were playing. On the 45th minute, just after the kickoff, Hibs crossed the ball in from the left, bounced all the way through our defence and wide. It was a dangerous ball, and it had McGregor diving for it nonetheless as well. So, you know, straight away they were up for it.
Yep.
52nd minute, lovely drive and run with the ball by Aribo down the right. Took the ball 40 yards, got into the box, got a shot off but sliced it wide. The defender had done enough to get back and just put him off at the last minute as well. However, we basically sealed the game on the 53rd minute with Jermaine Defoe scoring to make it 3-0. The ball was in the centre with Arfield, passed it wide right to Tavernier, who crosses the ball in, cleared with the head by the defender, knocked back to the left side by our attacker with his head, right to Defoe, and with an outstanding touch, takes it down. A lovely touch to knock it into space and put it more centrally for himself, and then he knocks with his third touch, he shoots the ball into the back of the net. That was just a sublime piece of skill from Defoe there. That is the reason why he's one of the top English Premiership scorers, and he's certainly making his tracks in the Scottish leagues as well. Amazing goal.
It was great. You hit the nail right in the head, Derek. The fact that the first, you know, sort of the first time control that he had there, and the way that he was able to make space for himself to find the target in the end. I mean, it was absolutely brilliant, and, you know, again, showing everybody that we're not just a one-man team, you know, which is certainly when it comes to scoring goals, it was a great finish. And, you know, at that point, that was us home and dry then, really. We had completely knocked any sort of hope out of Hibs at that point and, you know, completely in control of the game for then on.
Yep. Not long after that, though, red mist came down on Porteous from Hibs, not for the first time in his Hibs career, especially against us. An absolute shocking challenge on Barisic. Very high, very late, and the ref had no option to give him a red card. Yep. Gerrard's reaction, he went absolutely ballistic. Yep. He went mental at the Hibs bench, and then the Hibs bench tried to come over and start and have a fight with him, and I think we ended up getting a guy sent off for our bench as well, did we not, in that game?
Yeah, so, that's right, yep.
It taken about 5 minutes to get his injury sorted out because it looked a really, really nasty one. Fortunately, it wasn't too bad. The more shocking thing of the whole thing, though, was once again Hibs support doing themselves no favours whatsoever. Missiles were thrown at Barisic as he was lying on the ground, including a glass bottle.
Yep. Totally.
There's nothing you can really say about that. It's just animal behaviour. It really is. So down to 10 men. 66 minute, weak effort on target from Arfield, but it was comfortably gathered by the keeper. 68th minute, another shocker on Barisic, where his foot was stood on with no attempt to play the ball from their player Naismith, who was already on a booking. I don't even think it was given as a foul. Certainly not a yellow card. And I just don't understand. It was a clear second yellow card, if not a straight red. On its own. At this point, I think I maybe said to you or my dad or some of my mates, get our main players off now, especially Barisic, because they were just becoming targets now. That never happened. Aribo came off and Ojo came on in the 74th minute. 76th minute, Kent with a shot from 20 yards, took a deflection right in the path of the keeper, who comfortably saved. Kent came off and Barker came on in the 77th minute. Jack came off and Stewart came on in the 79th. And on the 83rd minute, the last piece of play, a shot by Barker in the box, saved by the keeper's legs. So a resounding win, a well-fought win as well, and it just shows you how good we can play.
Exactly. Just like what I said in the, you know, for the first half, Derek, our pressing play, especially in the first half, was absolutely brilliant. We never gave Hibs a second on the ball. And, you know, it was one of the nights where everything clicked for us. I thought, you know, you mentioned him a few times there. He was getting targeted majorly, but I thought Barisic, again, absolutely outstanding. And, you know, an all-round fantastic performance by every player on the park. The defence was tremendous. The midfield was excellent at winning the ball and getting it forward very quickly. And then, you know, our front three were just absolutely superb.
Yep, absolutely. And just in relation to the what happened with Barisic getting bottles thrown at him there, Hibs kind of came out afterwards and says they're going to use their new CCTV to try and find out who the culprit was, because they obviously had to install CCTV because of what happened in a very similar situation last year with us and with Celtic, funnily enough. It's prompted Chris Commons to write a good article in one of the papers he writes for, completely slating Hibs and their fans and the SFA, basically stating that Hibs fans are a law unto themselves after the Scottish Cup final of 2016, and the SFA sent out the wrong message, not punishing Hibs that day. And what that's kind of made is Hibs and Celtic fans, because they're getting involved as well when it comes to us, completely rewriting history about what happened that day.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying that no players were attacked.
Incredible.
And they were also saying that the trouble only started because Rangers fans came onto the pitch. Well, it's utter bollocks. This trouble had already started, you know, before that. And
it's quite incredible. But Derek, their statement FC across the city their fans are great at rewriting history and, you know, things that actually happened that didn't really happen. We've been hearing that for years, and you know, it's no surprise whatsoever that they've all jumped on the bandwagon there. It really isn't. It was quite incredible. I know exactly what it was that you were talking about, and I was taken aback myself. But they're given a platform, all these yahoos, and that's what's annoying as well about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what chance have we got when you have Mr. Over-exuberant Rod Petrie in charge of the SFA now? There's absolutely little hope for change, but that's a story for another day. We've got other SFA issues to deal with, which we'll get on to. But anyway, next game, Thursday the 26th of December, Boxing Day obviously, at home to Kilmarnock, and we won 1-0. We remained unchanged, which I think was a first, was it not, for this season? Or certainly, if not the first, it was one of the first this year. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Edmondson, Davis, Flanagan, Morelos, Jones and Stewart. Now, the game itself, we've got a few bits to talk about, but it was really all us, and it was just typical Kilmarnock. They sat with really 11 players in their own half.
It was, yeah. I mean, the amount of times, Derek, I actually sat, you know, when I was watching back the highlights and stuff like that, and they had eight players back defending in their own box, you know, plus their goalkeeper. Do you know what I mean? That's quite incredible. So they basically had, like, you know, eight outfield players defending in the box. I don't think I've ever seen that before, to be honest with you. Yeah. And they had one man out wide and one man in the centre, just in case they managed to get a break. It was, I know what you were saying, it was extremely hard going for our players because we were having all the ball. But just really, we were finding it tough, you know, to break them down. But as you're about to get into, thankfully, we did eventually get the breakthrough.
Yes, so one notable exception from the last game, obviously, was Morelos wasn't playing because it was him serving his ban for the red card he picked up against Motherwell. He was on the bench for this game, so it's one of these things. Could we argue that should he have got a start, given the fact that he was in good form? But, you know, we'll get to that, obviously, when it comes to it. But second minute was good possession play up the park. Tried to get a cross off, but it was deflected back into the possession of Kilmarnock. We tried to get possession back after good tenacity, ending in Defoe on the left side of the box. Gets a shot off, but deflected wide for the corner. Fourth minute, Katic with a turn and a trundling shot from 20 yards wide of the post. Didn't get a clean take at it. Eighth minute, Kelly broke up the park. Managed to get a shot off on the edge of the box, which was deflected off the legs of Tavernier and out for the corner. Went not far well wide as well, which was quite lucky there. 13th minute, Barisic on the left, shimmied, cuts inside, beats the defender, has a shot, but a weak effort and right at the keeper. 14th minute, lovely one-touch play at close quarters, in and around the box, ending in Defoe, fractionally offside, but couldn't direct it goalwards in any case. 24th minute, good ball from Goldson to Kent on the left. Kent gets that into the box. Tried to pass to Aribo in the middle of the box, but the Kelly defender managed to knock it past the post just in time. 24th minute, Jack shot from 25 yards. It went miles wide left of the post. And then all of a sudden, we just dropped off. We had all the possession. It was very one-paced, though, from us, and we were not threatening at all. No. You know, we never really threatened much as it was in the game, but we just absolutely had nothing. Much of the period played, as I said, with 21 players in the Killy half, and I'm sure McGregor could have came into their half as well, and we would have still been fine because Killy just didn't want to play football. It was just all backs-to-the-wall stuff.
And at this point, Derek, I was, and I'll be honest with you, starting to, I'll not say worry, but I was starting to become a wee bit more anxious because the game was going on and we didn't really look as if we were scoring just because, as you say, we sort of dropped pace a wee bit at that point. Kilmarnock, we were giving them a chance to regroup, weren't we? And we were making it more and more difficult. And I don't know about you, but I was quite anxious at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to be that, and we've been in this position before with the team, where they've kind of thought, right, we've tried everything we can, let's just sit back and see what happens, rather than just going for the jugular and just keep enforcing it and forcing it and forcing it. It's almost as if they seem to run out of ideas, but, you know, we'll get into that. The last piece of play in the half, 43rd minute, Kamara tried a floaty play shot on the edge of the box on the right-hand side, clips at the top of the bar and out. Quite unlucky that, mind you. It was quite one of the bits of novelty play I think we had in the first half.
But yep, anyway, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Into the second half, 48th minute, down the left with a great cross from Barisic, finding the head of Kent in the middle of the box, and it was just over the bar. 51st minute, corner from us, eventually knocked to Barisic on the centre of the box, takes a touch, drops the shoulder, hits the shot and forces the keeper into making a save. Again, another fairly comfortable save though.
Yeah.
54th minute, great pass through the defence by Aribo to Defoe. Defoe beats his man, cuts it back for Barisic, who has a shot and it was just over the bar. 56th minute, you can see the pattern coming here, can't you? Kent has a shot from the edge of the box, curling in, but a diving save from the keeper who puts it out for the corner. That was a good effort. And fortunately, it seemed to be that Gerrard had learned in this game. He's actually brought on a sub early. Defoe came off and Morelos came on in the 57th minute. And that changed the game, and you can't argue about that because he ended up scoring. Yep. 59th minute, Jack hits a curler from 25 yards, forces the keeper into another dive and save, but out for the corner. 63rd minute, got the ball into the box, cut back to Kent at the edge of the box, who blasts it over the bar. Another substitution on the 63rd minute, where Arfield came off and Stewart came on, a player we've been dying to see.
Yeah.
And then a minute later, Morelos scores to make it 1-0. Kamara on the left-hand side on the 18-yard line, passes to Jack in the centre, who passes to Aribo in the box on the right-hand side, who feeds the ball to Morelos, who beats the offside and shoots it into the back of the net. Brilliant goal, and afterwards there was cries of offside, you know, from all the Celtic fans, all the Kilmarnock fans. Replay show, clearly onside.
Clearly onside. Great play by Aribo, Derek, to get the ball, because the ball came to him in the box and he was surrounded, but the quickness of his feet and the control, and then the wee pass to Morelos, the vision as well, absolutely fantastic, and a great finish by Morelos there. But all the credit there, I would say, goes to Joe Aribo. I thought he was outstanding in that wee move.
Yeah, absolutely. 76th minute, Tavernier threads the ball to Morelos into the box, but the keeper was alert and comes out to gather the ball before Morelos could nip in. 78th minute, Kent off and Davis on. 81st minute, Morelos tracking back and robs the ball off the defender after passing back. Morelos and Stewart break forward. He hits a shot just inside the box and hits off the legs of the defender and out for the corner. Maybe certainly a thing that you can look into the cup final and the next game we'll get into. Morelos sometimes a bit ball greedy.
Well, that's him though, Derek. I mean, well, that's...
You can't argue with his goals,
no, exactly. And, you know, he... At least we all know, and the rest of his teammates should know, that 99.9% of the time he's gone for the shot. Do you know what I mean? He's gone to try and score himself. He doesn't see anybody else. And as you say, we can't argue with his goal ratio. So it's one of these things that that we have to accept by him. And there's sometimes, I mean, there has been the odd occasion where he has tried to pass it to somebody and we've thought to yourself, why the hell did you not go for it yourself? But, you know, thankfully on that day, he did get the winner.
Yep. And then just after that as well, the last piece of play, the game I've got here, corner in from the left, Katic gets his head to it and heads it towards the ground, bounces off the ground, but a comfortable save right at the keeper. So, much like you've got to say, it was a hard-fought win in the end. It was a lot more tiresome and stressful than it should have been. However, we all know Kilmarnock's game. We've got to be a wee bit more mindful and unlock that sooner.
Derek, I keep saying it. The Kilmarnock did enough to... If that was us last season, we wouldn't have won that game. We would have drawn that game 0-0 at Ibrox and we wouldn't have made the breakthrough. I'm quite sure about that. So, again, it's showing us as a team we are growing and we are becoming more confident and we are finding ways to win, you know, because not every single game, we're not going to go and absolutely annihilate every team, every single game. There's going to be games like that are going to be exceptionally tough. Teams are going to defend in numbers, just like what Kilmarnock did there. And it's just great to know that we've still managed to, you know, break them down and score and come away with the 3 points. I think I was more relieved than anything else with that game because, you know, the longer it went on, you know, the more and more difficult I thought it was going to be. So I was delighted that we did get the 3 points for that one. Really, really good victory.
Yep, can't disagree with that at all. So that leads us on next to the big game, the brilliant game. I'm still over the moon 9 days later, and it's really because of Celtic. They keep dragging it out and dragging it out and dragging it out, you know, and it just makes me even happier every single time. So we've got Sunday the 29th of December. It was away to Celtic in the Premiership where we fucking hammered them 2-1. So we made two changes, and we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Barisic, Davis, Jack, Kamara, Aribo, Kent and Morelos. On the subs bench, we had Fordingham, Edmondson, Flanagan, Barker, Ojo, Defoe and Arfield. Now, just bearing in mind, Celtic pay £20 million a year more in wages than us, and they were basically at their full strength team.
Yep.
I'm not saying we weren't at our full strength team as well, but just bearing that in mind. Now, there's a lot of refereeing issues we've got to cover, and I don't want this to overshadow what was an incredible performance with us. So we'll obviously briefly cover the incidents there, and then we'll talk about the refereeing incidents and then the fallout at the end of the game anyway. But
okay.
Anyway, on the 8th minute, Tavernier stabs a shot well over the bar after some lovely link-up play, switching the ball from left to right. 8th minute, just after that as well, Aribo robs the ball off the defender and runs with the ball into the box, but runs out of room before he could get a pass and the shot away. 10th minute, lovely long ball from the right by Tavernier to Morelos on the edge of the box. A lovely takedown and turn, but he couldn't get the pass off to Aribo in time before the defender intercepted. 13th minute, good play working the ball from left to right. The ball was then fed to Morelos on the edge of the box, who turns and shoots, but a weak effort and comfortably gathered by the keeper. 15th minute, quick break up the park, ending in Morelos driving with the ball. Defender slides in and gets the ball, but we get the break of it. Morelos picks the ball back up and has a shot from distance, but a comfortable save from the keeper. It's 18th minute, a shot by Celtic but from about 30 yards, but it was well over the bar. 24th minute, corner from the right, ending in Forster having to kick it off his goal line after a shot by Davis on the right-hand side of the box. Really unorthodox, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. I actually thought that he'd scored it, Derek, because the Celtic goalkeeper didn't see it until late, and the next minute was at his feet. So I actually thought that he'd scored with that one. Really, really unlucky.
Yeah. 26th minute, cross from the right by Celtic, ending in a back heel shot over the bar. 27th minute, a shot by Morelos, miles wide and over the bar. And in the 31st minute, it was a penalty to Celtic after Katic had a handful of shot of Julien. Julien also had initially a hold of Katic's shirt at the same time as well.
Yep.
Now, up until that point, this, you would have said, was completely against the run of play. I know I've highlighted a few incidents there, but
totally,
we were just a dominant team by far.
Completely, completely, Derek. And I know that you're going to be talking about the refereeing incidents, but as someone quite rightly pointed out, not long before this incident happened, just about an identical incident happened with us up the other end, and there was nothing happened whatsoever. And I think it was Katic himself whose shirt was pulled out, you know, sort of double the size that it was at the time. So that annoyed me at the time because, you know, the referee was right in front of it the first time. He was right in front of this incident and he gave the penalty.
Yeah,
and as you say, we were completely on top at this point. This was completely against the run of play, and I was really, you know, I thought to myself, it's going to be another bloody cup final this, where we've completely dominated them and we're not going to get anything from it. And I'll let you get into what happened next.
Yeah, I mean, that was the strange thing, is we kind of thought there's no way Celtic are going to play as bad as they did. But I think we never got as much credit as we should have for that cup final, because it's quite clearly, from looking at this, we just played them off the park. We didn't allow Celtic to play, and that was the main thing. We were just pressing very high. We were chasing them all over the park. We were defending well when we needed to as well. And that's all Celtic had, was a shot from 30 yards up until that penalty. So, but anyway, there was something about it. He's done it before. If there's anybody who you want to say to in the goals to save a penalty, it's going to be Alan McGregor. And it was a good penalty. It was keeper height, mind you. It was still a good penalty, but an outstanding diving save to the right, to his left-hand side, and saved the penalty from Christie as well.
It was a great save, Derek. He guessed the right way. As you say, it wasn't a poorly taken penalty. He hit it with plenty of pace. He put it to, you know, one side. But McGregor guesses right and pulls off a tremendous save, Derek. Absolutely brilliant, and completely what we deserved at that point in the game, because we certainly did not deserve to go behind at that point, because we were, as I say, we keep saying it, we're by far the better team.
Yeah. However, just a minute after that, though, Davis ended up clearing it off the line after a corner from the right and headed off the ground. So, you know, it's one of the things, at corners, keep men on the post.
Yep.
It's bread and butter. It's rule 101 of, you know, defending like that. But we taking heed from that. We went up the park and we scored a goal on the 36th minute, and what a beauty it was. The ball was played up the park, ending in Jack to Barisic on the left. Barisic takes it forward, a wee step over, crosses it into the middle to Kent, who was unmarked, and a first-time placed pile-driving shot off the left post. That doesn't even tell the half yet, because the ball started off well in our half and with a throw-in, and we worked the ball up all the way up to that point as well. What a team goal, and just what a sublime finish as well.
Derek, the passing and moving in that was just, it was quite incredible. It's one of these goals and one of these moves where you say to yourself, was that really Rangers that did that? Because it was just, I mean, the one-touch passing and moving for our team, and it just, it was as if they were so supremely confident with the way that they were passing the ball. It was like, you know, the ball would go forward, then it would get played back, you know, very slightly, and then a wee dink ball over to somebody else, played back in, another ball forward, back in again, and then played out to the left-hand side, and then Barisic, Derek, and, you know, I mean, this guy has, what he's done since he's came back into the team to turn his season around has been quite astonishing, because he's just been absolutely incredible, Barisic, he really has. And that ball in, he just knew exactly where to put the ball, what speed, you know, what amount of curl to put on it, straight to the feet of Ryan Kent, and what a finish, Derek, what an absolute finish. You know, he hit it so hard, but with so much power and accuracy and curl to get it past the goalkeeper and just shaved the inside of the post to go in. It was a tremendous goal. And as you say, the play, you know, beforehand, like I've said as well, absolutely sublime. The type of goal that you dream our team is scoring at, you know, against them at their home stadium. Absolutely brilliant.
Yep, can't disagree at all. So, and then once again, against the run of play, Celtic got the park and score very fortuitously as well. 41st minute, it was a very lucky break of the ball for Celtic, right in the path of McGregor, who hits a shot that was going wide off the hand of Edouard and deflected into the back of the net. The goal shouldn't have stood. Nope. There's absolutely no doubts about that at all. We'll get into that refereeing decision later. However, the one criticism what I would say about the whole move from our point of view was the break of the ball came off of a really half-hearted challenge from Jack, and
yeah,
the ball just seemed to skid up. It was I don't even know what it was. He was posted missing, put it that way.
Which is very unlike him, Derek, to be honest with you. But that's the type of luck that they get, do you know what I mean? So that's why you've got to make sure you know, and win every single ball, especially when you play them, because they've got the luck for that to happen. But as you say, but the goal should never have stood. We'll get into that after the game. And, you know, again, completely against the run of play, they're back in the game.
Yeah, and going into half-time totally deflated, because we had completely dominated them, apart from the two instances and the goal clearing off the line. But
exactly.
But, you know, certainly it was all about attitude. We didn't think that, again, Celtic would play as badly, or we wouldn't play as well as that in the second half, but we were wrong again. Celtic came into it a wee bit more for a wee bit, but we, again, were by far the better team. 49th minute was a great long ball from the right of the fence to the left-hand side of the attack. Kent puts in a great cross in the middle of the box, which find Morella sliding in. He gets contact, but he puts it over the bar. I was probably easier to score, wasn't it, that one?
Oh, I know, yeah. Couldn't quite believe it, but there you go. So one of these things, considering, you know, we were, you know, the next goal was going to be crucial, Derek, wasn't it? And, you know, we weren't quite sure. But as you say, we were, you know, still the better team in it, but, you know, just desperate for the next goal.
Yep. Well, we didn't have to wait too long, but just before that, on the 54th minute, there was a cross ball in the box by Kent. Goldson couldn't quite stick his leg out to put it goalbound, and the defender managed to put it out for the corner.
Yeah.
Another one that was probably easier to score than miss.
Yep, totally. And again, looking back on the replays, yeah, and he must be looking back himself, asking himself how the hell he didn't manage to get that on target at that point. But again, showing Derek that we were still going for it, which was great.
Yep, absolutely. However, when I said we didn't need to wait long because a minute later on the 55th minute, we went 2-1 up with Katic having a goal. We had a corner. It was initially knocked out for another corner. Barisic on the left takes the corner, an in-swinger to the near post and a lovely bullet header past the keeper by Katic. The guy's got a reputation for doing that. Like Celtic not putting a guy on the post, that was their undoing.
Well, Derek, I said it to you, I hate saying, no, I told you so, but I did mention this either in the last pod or the pod before that. The one time that we have a player who can attack the ball and we really need to use it to our advantage, and thankfully we did, because Katic is absolutely fantastic at attacking a ball at a corner or at a set piece. And, you know, straight off the training ground again, Barisic again, Derek, what can you say about him? You know, he's just absolutely sensational. I can't say more about the guy. He's tremendous. The accuracy that he puts on, you know, he's not even dead balls, but when he's running with the ball as well, it's absolutely sublime. And the cross in for the, you know, the corner in was just, the accuracy was just absolutely phenomenal. And then, as you say, the header, bullet header into the near post, absolutely sensational goal. And, you know, just watching Katic, the joy on his face when he scored, when he run to the Rangers fans, it was just absolutely brilliant. And again, no more than we deserved. Again, Derek, there's nobody could have argued it against the fact that we didn't deserve to be winning that game at that point.
No, absolutely not. 64th minute, corner from the left from Celtic, headed by Julian, and Davis heads it off the line again. McGregor had a dive and it looked as if he was going to get to it anyway, so I think McGregor would have pulled off another one, but again, having the person on the court.
That's his job, Derek, yep, exactly.
66th minute, a lot of possession by Celtic in and around the box, ending in Edouard having a shot from 23 yards, forcing McGregor into a diving save out of the corner. 68th minute, more possession by Celtic, ending in the cross ball and flashed across the goal. 73rd minute, great defending by Goldson, knocking it out for the corner, as I said, after the ball was floated into the box and Edouard was waiting there, so had to get that one there. 76th minute, it was a quick break with us going 2v2. Morelos was between the defenders, eventually played the ball to Aribo on the left, who first times it but sclaffs the shot wide.
Oh,
took a wee bobble, but it should have been doing better.
Great chance, yep, really was.
Yep. 80th minute, Kamara off, Arfield on. 82nd minute, Morelos was going one-on-one with the keeper, but he was pulled down by Julian right on the edge of the box, yet Morelos gets the foul against him.
You know,
I'll go into that with the referee things at the end, yeah.
Yep.
86th minute, it was a long ball into our box. It was a slow-paced header towards McGregor, so it was not any troubling. 92nd minute, Davis odds, Edmondson on at a corner to Celtic, which was our undoing last year for one of the league games, wasn't it? Against Motherwell, I think it was, when he brung on a sub when we were trying to defend the corner. So I was having palpitations at that point and shouting at him, but... Unfortunately, it never came to anything. 95th minute, Morelos was shown his second yellow card for allegedly diving in the box when he was 1v1. He had been given a yellow card about 5 minutes beforehand, or before that anyway, which I think was justified, but we'll get into in a minute. Beale was obviously sent off as well for remonstrating with the fourth official. So... Well, just an outstanding win. As I said, Celtic, it wasn't as dominating as the first game, because Celtic had chances in that game, two cleared off the line, the penalty. They had a 20-minute spell in the second half where they were probably the more dominant team, but never really done much with it.
Exactly,
but by far, we were the better team in that game. You know, the stats, they looked as if it was a pretty even possession. There was nowhere near possession. We had more possession than them. I think we had fairly even shots and all that kind of thing, but we were just outstanding that game. We never allowed Celtic to play. And that was against the fact that it was playing against 12 men.
Exactly. Yep, exactly, Derek. Probably the best performance that we've had at Parkhead in a long, long time. Maybe even going back to when we beat them 3-0 to win the league. I'm trying to think of a more sort of dominant performance than we did there. And really, we deserved to have won the game by more than one goal. The chance, as you say, that Aribo had at the end was a fantastic chance just for us to win 3-1. It wasn't to be, you know, but at the same time, though, Derek, we're sitting watching it and we're, you know, totally anxious, you know, with 5 minutes to go. And when we look back, you know, we really didn't have that much to worry about. But, you know, everybody's shitting themselves, you know, with just a few minutes to go. But, you know, it was a completely justified victory. We were by far the better team. We scored two fantastic goals. And as you're just about to get into there, some absolutely diabolical refereeing decisions. A referee that would, you know, it looked to us was trying everything that he could to get Celtic back into the game.
Basically, I mean, I said it on Twitter, I've never prescribed to this whole bias referee thing and Mason ref and all that kind of thing. I've always subscribed to the fact that referees do a difficult job, but they're largely incompetent and they're just diabolical at what they do, some of them. But this was the clearest attempt, as you said, of giving Celtic every opportunity to equalise, if not go forward and win the game I've ever seen in my life. Clancy should never referee a game again. It's as simple as that. The performance was diabolical. Up until, strangely enough, up until the penalty, there was very little of contention to deal with. There was a few niggly bits and pieces. As you said, there was a shirt pulling issue, and it kind of got looked over because there was no really anything involved in the game. There's no really contention in the game before that. But getting into the penalty, you know, technically, by the rules of the law, rules of the game, he had his Katic had a handful of shirt of Julian. It was a penalty. But as you said, the exact same thing was happening to Katic not long before in the Celtic box. Nothing was given. Now, much like the Morelos issue with having the hand gesture, getting himself sent off against Motherwell, I don't mind having the rules of the game being taken literally and there being no leeway at all. But what you have to do is dish it out evenly. Yeah, consistently. You can't just pick and choose whether you want to apply this rule at this time or not. That's called bias. That's basically what that is.
Completely, Derek. I mean, that the whole incident, and I know what you're saying, if you're going by the laws of the match, you know, we've really got nothing to complain about with the penalty. But the fact that, I mean the amount of replays that I've seen of it, I mean, he did basically, his shirt was pulled that much that I think I could have fit into the shirt where, you know what I mean, Derek? That's how blatant a foul it was for us in the Celtic box. And, you know, the referee, linesman, you know, there's a blind eye turned, and then exactly the same thing happens against us and they get the penalty against the run of play. You know, quite incredible. And, you know, how nobody didn't, you know, see the first one, I don't know. And as you say, it's getting to that stage, you know, what the fuck have we got today to get a victory here or to get the upper hand, especially when we're playing against that.
Yeah, just in relation to the penalty incident itself, there was a clear video evidence showing Scott Brown putting the elbow right into Tavernier at that point as well. Now, on that penalty, Katic was given a yellow card. He was clearly looking at the referee. The referee was clearly looking at him. However, the referee feigned putting his card away again and then showing what looked to be Scott Brown the yellow card.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Now, apparently the TV, Sky, thought Scott Brown had been shown the yellow card as well, which makes it very strange, because why would you give Scott Brown the yellow card as well as Katic when it's a penalty allegedly to Celtic?
Exactly, yep.
And what happened later on in the game is Scott Brown picked up another yellow card, and his reaction, by the look of it, he felt he was getting sent off for that.
And Derek as well, if you look at the referee, I think the referee thought that he was giving him a second yellow card as well, because there was quite a bit of a hesitation with the referee. If you go back and watch it, a bit of confusion there also for the referee to then eventually award him the yellow card and nothing to happen. So, I mean, that was picked up by so many people. You know, it was actually quite blatantly obvious to a lot of us that it had been booked the first time. But then it all got changed. So yet another one, though, Derek, that is forgotten about by the, you know, the hordes in the media and the hordes of that lot on the other side of the city also. I mean, if that had happened with us, there would have been a huge outcry. It would have been in all the media outlets. It would have been everything. The fact that our captain had been given us a second yellow card, but then all of a sudden it was changed and he had only been yellow carded once. Quite incredible.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's the way it was done. Bear in mind, throughout this, there was several fouls by Celtic players. I'll name a few. Obviously, the Brown thing. There was Ballingolly. There was Christie. There was Julian. All of them done clear yellow card offences, but were allowed to ride them, allowed to ride it, where they were all given eventually a yellow card. However, that kept on going into the second half.
Yep.
Clear yellow card fouls, several of them, no second yellow cards given whatsoever.
There was one in particular, and you mentioned him, Christie, where he went in on the ankles of Ryan Jack. I think it was Derek Studs up.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself, to me, was a red card. I don't even think he got spoken to about that one, because I think he picked up his yellow card, you know, after that incident, which was absolutely shocking, the tackle that he put in. And as you say, again, Derek, there are so many, and you're saying things and I'm, you know, my mind's going back to the match and saying to myself, what a bloody absolute disgrace this is, you know. And I'm sure you've got a hell of a lot more as well. I know there's a couple of blatant ones that we're about to get into as well, but as you say, the amount of shocking challenges that were going in that were not going punished was quite incredible, actually.
Yeah, the next one was the chance when Morelos got, where he was clearly fouled on the edge of the box, yet the foul was given against him. It was a yellow card and a sending off for Julian initially, because, you know, last man, clear goal scoring opportunity.
Yes.
But the referee gave it against him.
Clearly.
What was that near side linesman doing?
What time was that at, Derek?
That was in the 82nd minute.
Right.
So you look at when Morelos picked up his yellow card, it was on the 85th minute, I believe. Mm-hmm. Now, I have no issue with that yellow card whatsoever. I know some people do. He left one on Scott Brown, and I have all the sympathy in the world. It's the only time I will have sympathy when he does something like that, because quite clearly he was frustrated and pissed off at the fact that he'd been clearly fouled 2 minutes, yep, 3 minutes beforehand and get nothing for it, yep, at the foul against them.
Exactly.
However, the second yellow card was an absolute disgrace. You can argue whether you think he dived or not, but the point is, the yellow card was out before the ball had even stopped moving. Clancy clearly never checked with his linesman, never thought to second guess himself on it. And the way it happened, it was so difficult to see, even on a replay, if there was contact. How could the referee see that? I know you might have a different viewpoint on if it was a dive or not, but he went down cutely. And I think he went down expecting a challenge to go in, which never came. Much like, by the way, I know we're going back to years and years ago here, but Paul Lambert, when he slid into the box and Alberts went down riding it and he knocked out his teeth, Paul Lambert got sent off and we got a penalty. It's the exact same kind of scenario, expect a challenge to come that never actually came. Yep. I don't think it was a dive.
He was looking for contact, Derek. He was looking for contact, right? He didn't go down with no contact whatsoever. He was looking for it. He was playing for the penalty. It didn't quite go to plan what he was trying to do, but that's what he was trying to do. But again, Derek, I don't know if you saw as well, just sort of 2 minutes before he got sent off, where he was sort of punched or elbowed to the face by Julian off the ball. Did you see that one as well?
Yeah, I've seen that, because it was shown in a video afterwards, completely off the ball, mm-hmm, blatant as you like.
Yep, completely.
So no wonder the guy is going to leave one on a player, because he thinks that it's fair game for everyone, but clearly it isn't.
And that was quite shocking as well, to be honest with you, because it was a clear, I don't know if he's got him with the, you know, the side of his arm or whatever, but he clearly strikes him in the face off the ball, Julian. And, you know, again, that's a straight red card also. So, I mean, so there's like two instances, Derek. The one where he gets booked for, you know, for going for the ball and getting fouled, and Morelos gets booked, and then that happens as well. And then what happens, Morelos goes up, he plays for the penalty, Derek, he plays for the foul, he's looking for contact all the way, and as you say, before he even fucking hit the deck, the referee had the second yellow card out because he was just desperate, because he knew he had the first booting, he was desperate to get him sent off, absolutely desperate. And Morelos had ran them ragged, Derek. That Julian's no had a harder game, I don't think, especially at Parkhead since he's got there, because Morelos really did run them ragged. They didn't know what to do with him, and you know it resulted in them basically cheating, let's be honest with you, because he should have been sent off for the challenge and he should have been sent off for the contact that was made when he punched him as well. So blatant cheating, you know, for me, they didn't get punished and we did. So it's, you know, how any Celtic fan out there can turn around and say that the referee was against them is absolutely beyond me, because there's me and you listed at least 8 incidents there straight away that the referee got wrong completely, and it was us who was pissed off after it that these things were happening, and we won the game. So quite shocking refereeing in my opinion, and yours, and every other Rangers fan out there, and again how they can turn around and say that it was, you know, the some of the decisions against them were, you know, were shocking. I honestly don't know. It was incredible, actually. It really was.
Well, it's led on to, which is going to be a lengthy section itself, is the fallout from this game. It's been joyous, but it's also been exceptionally concerning as well, the way it's went with Celtic, with the media in this country. It's just beyond a joke now. Sutton waited a day once again, by the way, because he'd done that the same as last year, which led to Beaton getting these death threats and his house targeted as well. Yep. He waited a day and then he went on a 6-day tirade calling in the media, calling for hefty bans for Morelos and Kent for gestures that they'd done. Now, Kent done a gun gesture when he allegedly to the Celtic fans when he scored. There was nothing in that at all. Players have done worse, and you look
he held the gun to his own head as well, though, Derek. Do you know what I mean? That was what got me. Getting down on one knee and pretending that he was aiming for the ball and all that, which, regardless anyway, is a lot of nonsense, but he actually was holding, you know, the fake gun to his own head. It's quite incredible.
And then Morelos, obviously, because he'd done a kind of slit throat gesture saying it was the game's over. Now, that's been claimed that he looked in the direction of Celtic fans. You look at the videos, he was looking nowhere near the Celtic fans. It was to Defoe he was doing it. Yeah. Now, it's again since been debunked. Kent, the gun gesture. What did Robbie Keane used to do every single time he scored? Yep. Forward roll and a gun thing. What did Loudrup do on occasion as well? He done a double gun gesture. Morelos, he's done that gesture before, and I can't remember who it was who picked it up, but they got a video of Morelos celebrating against Mittelland, and he done the exact same gesture, celebrating. It's again been debunked, the fact that it's a well-known thing, even in our culture, saying game's up, game's over. And it's a symbolistic thing as well in his homeland. So, once again, things have been debunked. And, again, things that have been done previously. I think even Victor Wanyama done it for Celtic as well, the whole slit throat thing. But that was not an issue there, because it was Celtic players that was doing it. Michael Stewart and Tom English went on the same fucking tirade as Sutton, fucking arseholes that they are. Rangers released a statement calling again for VAR to be introduced, highlighting that a penalty should have been given to us instead of a free kick against Aberdeen when we ended up drawing 2-2. Two incidents in the Old Firm game, obviously talking about the goal and the penalty as well.
Yep.
And then they went on to defend Morelos and his gesture and the ludicrous way he's been portrayed in the media.
Yep.
And it turns out that SFA are now seriously considering calling bringing in VAR. Celtic, within hours of Rangers releasing a statement, now it had nothing to do with Celtic, they released their own statement calling out Morelos.
They do like releasing statements, though, Derek, let's be honest.
Exactly. Trying to deflect away from their own players and again play the victim. Why? They got away with fucking murder in that game.
Yep.
If you get away with murder in that case, you stay quiet. You don't do nothing, do you?
Exactly.
But not Celtic. No. Now, amazingly, Ryan Christie, we forgot to mention this as well, Christie grabbed Morelos by the balls when he was already on a yellow card. So he was actually cited by the compliance officer. Celtic were absolutely incensed by that, and they released another statement basically saying we'll defend him. He was eventually hit with a two-game ban. Celtic released another statement today claiming unfair treatment of their players. And Celtic have prepared a dossier of four incidents over the last couple of seasons for Old Firm games that did not go to the compliance officer, which were similar. Brown has also came out and brandished the system laughable. Now, to me, that's surely a charge for bringing the game into disrepute.
I've got to laugh, Derek. They've came up with four incidents for the last... for the last few games that they've played against Rangers. Me and you have came up with eight incidents there for that one game.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's quite incredible. They are this... I mean, their motto really should be always cheated, never defeated. It should... I mean, we've said it for years, but some things with that rancid club never ever change, Derek. And it is always somebody else's fault. They're never, ever beaten fair and square. They're always cheated. They've always got things against them. And how they could possibly, you know, say anything about that game, because they did get away with murder, Derek. You said it exactly there. They did get away with murder. And again, you mentioned it there as well, that we forgot to say, Christie was already on a yellow card when he did that to Morelos, and he still didn't get sent off in the game. Something else it's wee things like that got overlooked, Derek, you know, by them and their supporters. He was already booked at that point, which is, you know, quite incredible, and he got away with it. And the lengths that they go, you know, they go to, you know, go no bound. They really don't. And as you say, some of it has been hilarious. The antics of some of their supporters has just been brilliant. Kerry Fail, the person that deals with that, really has had, you know, an absolute ball over the last few days. And it's hilarious, but at the same time, it's quite worrying as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm nowhere near finished, by the way, going over this fallout. I mean, it still goes on and on and on. We're on day nine just now, and it still goes on. Yep. I mean, just finishing off the Celtic thing there, they fail to fucking remember that they got their win in the League Cup by an offside goal.
Yep.
Plus, as well, our penalty should have been retaken for the keeper being off his line. So they're absolutely laughable. This fact that they could say there's unfair treatment of their players, they've been cited three times since the compliance officer has been in play, and this is only the second time that they've actually been hit with a ban. So, anyway, there was rumours flying about claiming that there was an incident at the tunnel at full time where Morelos went ballistic and booted Christie's balls, leaving him needing surgery to remove a ball. That was probably... favourite one of the lot. It really was. You know what the chances are going to be the next time Christie plays against us.
Aye, holy, honestly, mate, it's incredible. It really is. Oh, superb.
The more concerning thing here, though, is that there was a video as Morelos was walking off. It showed clear racist and sectarian abuse towards him. And that was before he gave this now infamous gesture. And there was further sectarian abuse a few days later, showing him getting into his Lamborghini as a passing by guy in a car shouted out his window at him when he was driving by. The mental gymnastics they've been trying to do to try and deflect away from what is clearly heard in the video. Now, Celtic released a statement as well. I think it was maybe part of one of their numerous ones. After Rangers did mention the fact that this video came to light and the sectarian abuse, Celtic claimed that they hadn't had any reports of this. That is fucking just the most biggest load of bullshit ever, because it's clear as day on social media.
Yep.
Their fans liaison officer will be on the social media all the time to do this, because I know that they act the exact same as ours by passing information to fans through social media. So for them to come away and say that they've not had reports is just absolutely scandalous. That's basically them saying, we've not had an official complaint to us. You shouldn't need an official complaint to you when it comes to that. That is basically them going back to their child abuse days in terms of, oh, we've not had an official report, so we don't know anything about it. That's exactly what that is. The funny thing is about the whole Celtic attitude as well, just in relation to the game itself. Pre-match interview, complete arrogance from Lennon, and in the post-match interview, completely the same arrogance, saying that they didn't deserve to win, but they didn't deserve to lose either. And this is the funny thing is, he says he isn't too worried about the result as they were in a similar position last year. So if they bounce back the same way they did like then, same way now that they did then, he'll not be worried. He's forgetting his team are not the same as this time. They're crumbling. He's also forgetting the fact that we're a completely different beast this time.
Exactly.
So I hope he keeps up that arrogance, quite honestly, because they're going to crumble. Anyway, as this was all going on, a day later, Morelos flew out to this monster. Morelos flew out to his hometown in Colombia to play a charity match, which he set up through his own charity, which he set up. He also donated Christmas presents to hundreds of kids in his hometown, and he never fled the country to escape criminal charges, as some fans claimed as well.
I seen the footage today, Derek, where he was back in his sort of hometown, and it does look a sort of very poverty-stricken place, and you could see him handing out all these bags to all the different families, all the kids, everything like that. He's quite rightly seen as a hero out there, and you know, but this is the side of Morelos that the Scottish media daren't show, Derek, isn't it? So I'm glad that there are people out there that are sharing this on social media. We'll be doing the same, because I've seen it on there. I'll certainly be getting it shared just to let everyone see as well. And, you know, a great gesture from him. And, you know, if it was any other country in the world, he would be seen in a completely different light. Or I'll put that differently, Derek. If he was playing for any other team, he would be shown in a completely different light. But because he's playing for us, he's doing so well, he's seen as being the villain. Going back to the usual suspects, though, Derek, English, Sutton and Stewart, we really cannot expect anything different from them, because they are so biased. It is unbelievable. Going back to the, and again, another thing that we forgot to mention was the absolutely disgraceful commentary by Andy Walker for Sky on the game, and how Sky can allow a man as biased as him to commentate on a match like that is beyond me, because some of the comments that he was coming away with were absolutely shocking. I don't know if you heard any of them, Derek, when he was shouting about VAR and stuff like that, and basically laughing when Celtic had scored that goal, which should never have been. It was absolutely diabolical, and yet again shows, you know, the media, and that's coming through a national company like Sky. You would think there would be somebody in there saying, no, we can't have this anymore. We need to go and get somebody that's completely, you know, it's not linked to any of these two teams. To have him, an ex-player of that team, and his track record commentating on our game, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not finished, Dave. I'm still not finished here.
On you go.
You know, just in relation to Morelos and his charitable things, it's got a very sinister element to it in the media. It's much like the way Gazza is, a very talented player playing for us. They only see the hot-headed nature of him, and they never report on his exceptional generosity. Yep. None more so than The Sun, who done an absolute hatchet piece on him, getting an apparent sports psychologist to say that Rangers need to do more to help Morelos in his mindset. Turns out that he was actually Celtic's former sports psychologist, and not only that, he's not even a sports psychologist.
I thought you were going to turn around and say, and to top that off, it wasn't even Celtic sports psychologist, it was Alan McInally.
Good friend of mine.
but Morelos isn't, definitely not.
No.
But no, it goes no bound, Derek, and it's actually quite scary if you look at it, how the media, you know, in this country go after him and go after us. They just cannot bear to think that we are going to win. Derek, it all comes down to fear. They are of the opinion that we should still have the likes of Kevin Kyle in that up front playing for us. We shouldn't have a player of his ability playing for us either. It's honestly quite incredible. I mean, what else have you got as well, Derek? Because as I say, I know you've got more.
Aye, another thing from The Sun here. A Rangers fan was hit with a coin and he had to get treatment for it. And The Sun ran a story showing a picture of him. 2 days later, they ran another story with the exact same picture that they used of the guy after Celtic claims that Rangers fans were throwing coins at them.
How does that work?
I don't even know. Right. John Hartson just didn't have a clue, because he could only muster enough comment for he was a bit disappointed with more of a hand slap than a handshake Gerrard gave Neil Lennon.
Oh my God. My God, right.
Fraser Aird as well was pictured by the cameras in the Rangers section, and he was seen on camera giving the wanker sign to Celtic fans, certainly endeared them anyway. 2 days later, though, he was sacked by his club, Cove Rangers, for the way he should have been handling himself a lot better. Funny, because he only had 2 days left in his contract, exactly, which is not getting renewed anyway. So just.
And who's the Cove Rangers manager, Derek?
Paul Hartley.
Really?
Yes. And it's
enough
turned,
said.
Well, yeah, and it's turned out that he's actually used the word "orange bastards" in a fanzine as well for one of his old clubs as well. So they've got a bigot in charge of them, but they'll sack somebody for showing the wanker sign. You know, quite incredible that. And then to cap it all off as well, Holcombe have been certainly fucking earning their keep anyway. Stories have again started to appear about the SFA not doing anything about the 2011 UEFA licence that was given to us by the SFA.
No, completely out of the blue, that just popped in there at this point, didn't it? Again, deflect, 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 Derek, and get as much negative press as possible. And as you say, they're doing their job very well. They're certainly getting their feelings out there very easily, aren't they?
Yes.
With the amount of media that are desperate to to print all these things, so the timing is just incredible by them. It really is.
Yep. So it leaves us in the table: played 19, won 16, drawn 2, lost 1, scored 53, conceded 11, which is incredible. Goal difference plus 42, and on 50 points. We're sitting in second just now, 2 behind Celtic, but with a game in hand, and we've got the same goal difference. So please don't let us down in that game.
I know, yep.
And this is what's incredible. 13 points ahead of Motherwell in third place, and we've got 2 games in hand over them as well. So a potential for 19 points over third place here. We're walking the league. It could very well come... It goes against the grain, but it could very well come down to Old Firm games this year.
I don't want to jinx anything, Derek. I really don't, because as you said there, and I know I'm agreeing with you here, it's a completely different scenario. But last year we didn't come back from the winter break very well. But I don't think that Steven Gerrard will make the mistake like he did last year, because if you can remember last year, it was straight Defoe and Davis straight into the team when they weren't fit, and we ended up drawing our game. We got beat by Kilmarnock in the first game when we came back for this. The break there. Steven Gerrard will not make the same mistake again. He will put his strongest team out now, like he's doing every single match. Just a bit of a nightmare that Morelos isn't fit, but we do have a class act to come in and replace him in Jermaine Defoe, and who knows what's going to happen in the transfer window as well, Derek. He might have a couple of players, or at least one player lined up that can come in and make a difference as well. So, I am not thinking that this is going to be any way like it was last season. I'm really looking forward to it, actually.
Yep, so am I. So on the after the winter break, we're obviously out to Dubai now, which we'll get into later. I've got here conflicting information. Don't know if it's Friday the 17th or Saturday the 18th of January, but it's at home to Stranraer.
Yeah, I've seen that myself. I've seen that as well, because I was looking at the fixtures, and some of the outlets have got us playing on Saturday and some of us have got us playing on the Friday night, which is quite strange. So I'm the same as you. I'm not quite sure what that's going to be. What date it is, well, we'll have to... I've not even checked Rangers' official site to see what it says about that one.
Checking the website, it's actually the 17th of January, so that's even better, because me and the wife are going out on the Saturday, so we'd have missed the game, so it's on the Friday night, so even better.
That's a nightmare, because I'm fucking working, but
never mind. Makes a change for being on holiday. So you always have to get it in every podcast.
Oh, I've heard that about you, right enough.
Hey. Next game after that is back into league action Wednesday the 22nd of January at home to St Mirren. That's a 19:45 kickoff. Then it's Sunday the 26th of January away to Hearts. That's back to a 1500 kickoff. And then Wednesday the 29th of January at home to Ross County in the Premiership. That's another 19:45 kickoff. So a lot of Wednesday and Friday night games coming, but we'll take them as they come and hopefully steamroller through them as well.
Exactly, Derek. Exactly.
So we'll go now into the classic match.
And there it is! The final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
So, Dave, what classic match have you got for us this time?
The classic match I have for us, Derek, is the 108th Scottish Cup final, which took place at Celtic Park in the season 1992-93, where Rangers took on Aberdeen for us to win the treble, or the chance to win the treble, for the first time since 1978. So a huge game for Rangers. Of course, it was played at Celtic Park because Hampden was being renovated. What a good job they did of that. Not the Rangers team on this cup final were Andy Gorham in goals, Stuart McCall, David Robertson, Richard Goff, Dave McPherson and John Brown. Ian Murray playing in midfield, who was the youngest player on the park. Ian Ferguson, Ian Durant, Mark Hatley and Peter Hoestra. The Aberdeen team on this game, Theo Snelder, Stuart McKimmy, Wright, Grant, Irvin, Alec McLeish, Lee Richardson, Mason, Scott Booth, Duncan Shearer and Mick Soot, Patalainen. So a lot of famous names in the Aberdeen team at that point also, Derek. And the game started off with some early pressure from Rangers. Ian Durant picking up the ball and driving into the Aberdeen half, plays the ball inside to Stuart McCall, who was running alongside him. He puts a great cross into Mark Hatley. Hatley, who then spots the on-running Ian Durant to the back post, heads the ball perfectly right over to the back post to Ian Durant, who gets his head onto it, but actually heads the ball over. That would have been a fantastic goal. Great play all round. The vision for Mark Hatley, tremendous. A few minutes after that, though, Aberdeen on the attack. Duncan Shearer to Paul Mason, out to Scott Booth on the right wing. He puts a fantastic cross in for Miksu Patalainen, but a fantastic header in front of him by Richard Goff, and cleared the ball away. A bit of a midfield battle then, a few sort of really strong tackles coming in. John Brown getting on the end of quite a nasty challenge, but Brown getting up, you know, iron legs that he did have getting up there. But it wasn't that long after that that Rangers actually took the lead in the game. On the 24th minute,
Ferguson, this is Hallström. To get away from Stephen Wright. Young fullback did well. So too did Ryan Grant. That's McCall. A chance on here for Murray. The deflection and the opening goal for Rangers. The youngest player on the field opens the scoring in the cup final in the 23rd minute of the match. Neil Murray for Rangers with the help of a deflection. And something of a disaster this for Brian Irvin, a missed kick there. Bad first touch by Murray, but he recovered and it came off Irvin in the end.
Ian Ferguson, he wins the ball in midfield and plays the ball out to Peter Hoestra on the left wing. Twists and turns, gets tackled by the Aberdeen defender but manages to win the ball back. He puts the ball back to Stuart McCall on the left-hand side, who puts a great cross into the box. But big Brian Irvin actually fluffs the clearance. The ball drops to Ian Murray, who hits a low shot. It was going to go into the bottom left corner. It takes a deflection and ends up going in to the net to make it 1-0 to Rangers. So great start for Rangers, playing some really, really good stuff there. Then another chance for Rangers straight away. Ian Ferguson with the challenge in midfield again. No one actually challenged him after that. He basically kept running, gets to the edge of the box, hits a shot, but straight into Peter Snelder's, into Theo Snelder's arms. And then Alec McLeish with a harsh challenge in Ian Durant, which warranted a yellow card, really quite a poor poor challenger by McLeish. So Aberdeen not really in it at this point. Rangers having the bulk of the play. And then just before the half-time whistle, Rangers made it to...
This is danger for Aberdeen. And a magnificent goal from Mark Hatley. The second for Rangers. The sheer delirium among these Rangers players. His strength and his pace and his accuracy earned that second goal. Sheer joy on the terraces for these Rangers supporters. And Mark Hatley drilling that almost through Theo Stelders. It's his 29th goal of a superb season. Hauser did well. So did Durant with a delicate ball through. And there was Hatley looking up, assessing the options. And the power and the accuracy beat Stelders.
And it was a tremendous goal. Absolutely fantastic. The ball was played up to Peter Hoekstra by Mark Hatley. Hoekstra, he gives it to Hatley, who holds the ball up, he's back to goal. He lays the ball back to Durant, and then Durant, a first-time ball to Hatley, who turned his man instantly as soon as he played the ball back. Durant with a fantastic first-time through ball just into the edge of the box. Hatley runs on and hits an absolutely thunderous shot right through the legs of Theo Snelders with his left foot. Fantastic goal, as accurate as you want, Hatley. You know, Mark Hatley, absolutely deadly for us at this period in his career. Tremendous goal, Rangers on easy street, and that's how the half, you know, the half finished after that. Rangers well on top, 2-0 up. Aberdeen knew they'd be tough to come out in the second half and try and get something back from the game. And straight away they did. Mason with a shot from the edge of the box, which pulled off a fantastic save by Andy Gorham out from the corner. Then not long after that, another great chance for Aberdeen, across from the left wing, header over the bar from Duncan Shearer, just over the bar. Really unlucky that one again. And then it was Mason picking the ball. It was a loose ball by Richard Goff, believe it or not, picked up by Mason. He hits another rasping shot, but saved again by Andy Gorham. He managed to keep his hands on the ball there. So Aberdeen really coming back in it. But then Rangers really should have made it 3 at this point. It was round about the 65th minute. It was a ball that was played up to Stuart McCall, who had an excellent game, who lets fly with a shot, no like Stuart McCall, from about 30 yards out. Just shaves the top right-hand corner of the goal. Really unlucky. It would have been an absolute cracking goal. But then Rangers letting Aberdeen back into the game on the 77th minute.
The deflection, and Aberdeen are back in the match. The first break in the game for Aberdeen. The deflected shot from Lee Richardson. And there are 12 minutes left for play. And hope suddenly for these Aberdeen supporters. There was Richardson looking up, striding into the gap ahead, driving the ball fiercely. It came off John Brown.
We were looking comfortable at this stage, but Lee Richardson gets the break of the ball just outside the box, shoots, and it takes a deflection off John Brown and rolls into the net to make it 2-1 to Rangers. So, you know, Aberdeen right back in this game, 13 minutes to go. Rangers really weren't they wanting this. They were desperate for the treble. And in a controversial moment not long after that, Mason for Aberdeen lofts the ball into the box. Irvine and Brown all over each other. John Brown goes down. Irvine goes down. The ball comes off the hand of John Brown. When I look back at it, it looked as if he was hauled down at the time. You know, really could do nothing about it. The referee let play on, but of course Aberdeen fans incensed by that, but still 2-1 to Rangers. And then on the 88th minute, Rangers could have tied up. Peter Hoekstra on the left wing bombs down, cuts back into the edge of the box and hits a great curling shot along the deck that's saved by Theo Snelders. That was about the last play of the game at that point. The full-time whistle gone and Rangers won the treble, Walter Smith as the manager.
And the final whistle goes! Rangers have won the cup, they won the treble, but they had to battle right to the end to do so. Walter Smith comes on. He's won the treble as Rangers manager. He goes straight to Mark Hatley, and that is thoroughly justified.
A fantastic season, and like I said, it's the first time that we'd won the treble since 1978, and to win it at Parkhead as well made it even sweeter. So again, if you get the chance to go back, please go back and watch it. Mark Hatley was absolutely fantastic in this game. The goal he scored was just absolute class. It really was. I take it, Derek, I mean, that's going back quite some time. You would have been, what, about 7 years old at that point or something like that?
7 years old, aye.
Seven years old. So, no, but I can remember I was about 18 at that point. And, you know, that was when we were really dominant big time in the game. And that was even before sort of Brian Loudrop and Paul Gascoigne and that came in. But great to have a player like Mark Hatley, so powerful, so fast, so accurate, great in the air. You know, it was a phenomenal striker, Hatley. And I've said it before in a few of the classic matches that we've done before, sometimes forgotten about, I think, Mark Hatley, how good he was for us. He was a tremendous striker, and again, going back, it showed his class in this game. Absolutely brilliant. So again, if you get the chance to watch it, please go back and do so.
Yep, another great game, and to be honest, I think a half-built Hamden would have been better than that shithole anyway, wouldn't it have been?
No much though, Derek, because Hamden is a shithole as well. It's not exactly been designed very well. It's a complete dump, but it was great to win it there as well, and like I said, for them to get the first treble since 1978 was a great achievement at that point, and also good stuff.
Yes. So we'll go on to the news. We can only start the news section off with the fact that it was the 2nd of January just passed there, and the memorial service for the Ibrox disaster on the 2nd of January 1971. I can't believe that's 49 years.
That's right. Quite incredible, Derek, eh?
Yeah, so hopefully there'll be a big plans for next year for the memorial, yep, for the 50
I'm
years.
I'm sure
as
there
well.
Will be. Yeah,
didn't stop though. Tom English and his words of wisdom having a pop at us, referring to us as the dead club after Alistair Johnston's comments the same day about the hysterics people are going to in order to claim we're the new club. Alistair Johnston, the former chairman, was making a claim, and he's quite correct. You know, there's people again doing mental gymnastics to try and prove that we're no longer the same club. And the way Tom English had to word it and refer to us as the dead club, just, you know, the guy has no morals whatsoever. The guy is he's an oxygen thief, basically. Anyway, as I alluded to, the team are away out to Dubai for our winter training camp, and we've got a game lined up against Lokomotiv Tashkent, our Uzbekistan team. That's on the 11th of January, I believe, as well. So I don't know if that's going to be on RTV or not. However, a couple of notable people there. Ross McCrory joined the squad, and Hollander was there as well, but he was on crutches. So
yeah,
certainly one player that won't be joining them is Eros Grejda, as he has signed a permanent deal to go back to Osijek. A nominal fee, apparently, with a sell-on clause as well. So Ross Wilson working his magic, it seems, by getting really anything for him.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. And it'd be fair to Grejda, Derek, he did put out quite a nice sort of statement. Never, you know, wasn't bitter in any way or anything like that about leaving Rangers, which, you know, he could have. But going by some of the stories that we heard of him sort of off, you know, especially in the friendly when he played away, you know, I think it was in Northern Ireland and stuff like that, it's, you know, it's maybe a good thing he is away. He would have been on quite good money, Derek. He never really set the heather on fire when he was here, did he? And I mean, I think I'm being quite generous to the guy there at all, but I think he scored maybe one goal for us in the whole time that he was there, and just didn't really look the part at all. And, you know, we heard a lot of big things about him, that he was, you know, a complete star over there for that team when he was their best player and stuff like that. And I think we thought we was getting Barisic in, that, you know, he was going to be some player, but it just wasn't to be.
I mean, some players it works for you and some players it doesn't. That's all I can say. And really, given the stories about his attitude, given what he apparently done in that friendly, there's no place for that in our team. Of course he's not going to be bitter about what happened, because, as you said, he would have been handsomely paid, probably a lot more than he was getting at Osijek. So one of these things, kind of better rid of him than have him sticking around. Another player on his way out, or has already left, is Serge Atikaye. He's joined SJK in Finland for around $100,000. Sad to see him go, because he was apparently a really good prospect, but if we're not going to use him and he's not going to make it in to the level we need, then it's best for the club to move him on. And at the end of the day, getting $100,000 for him is great business.
Yep.
And he's actually from Finland as well, so going back to his home country. A player who has extended his contract is Kieran Wright. He's a goalkeeper in the academy, and he's also been training with the first team as well. So he's extended his deal until 2021. So it's quite clearly, if there's, you know, certainly potential there, then we're more than willing to keep them on.
Yeah, definitely, Derek. Yep.
Yep. Glenn Middleton, his loan at Hibs has ended early and he's now back with us. I'm not sure if he's actually travelled out to Dubai, but he joined Hibs on loan till the end of the season. So that's clearly not worked out for him very well there. He wasn't played, and obviously the new manager doesn't like the look of him.
Yeah, I mean, a guy, Derek, again, definitely talent there. He's a young guy. Obviously wasn't the right fit for him. I think if I was Rangers, I would be looking to try and get him loaned out again quite quickly, maybe to a team who, you know, are desperate for players who, are, you know, he's definitely going to get his game. I don't know if they would maybe even think about the Championship or even going down to England again or what. I don't know, but certainly a player that we know has, you know, has got, you know, he's definitely a skillful player and there's something there, but certainly I don't think, you know, he would struggle to get into our team the now, but certainly one that I don't think we should give up on.
Well, he's sitting kind of fourth choice, is he not? You know, at the very highest he's at, because you've got Kent, you've got Jones, you've got Barker, seemingly to be all in front of him. So
that's right, yep.
So we'll see what happens there.
And of course, Ojo. I would say that Ojo was probably second choice for Steven Gerrard there, but that's another story.
Yep, we have announced another couple of partnerships as well with football and teams and associations, with this time with Orange County SC of the USL in America, and Adventure Sports Academy in Hong Kong. Kind of similar to other partnerships with the other clubs we've got around the world now and their academies, where they'll come over here and we'll go over there for, you know, whatever they do. But certainly good to get the brand about as well, which is the main thing. And as ever, as soon as Orange County got announced as a partner with us, as it drew the ire of the bigoted ones across the other side, and,
of,
you know,
course,
typical Orange, you know, and they were actually tweeting, you know, that the sport, they were actually tweeting the football club as well, you know, do you know you've signed up to bigots and all that kind of thing. The only ones that actually bother about this, that's,
I
the
know.
Thing.
And a big shout out to the guys that do their podcast for giving us a wee mention as well on Twitter. So
yes,
there you go.
A couple of non-Rangers related stories here is Mikel Arteta. It's kind of old news now, but Mikel Arteta has become the new boss at Arsenal for a 3.5-year deal. So I'm not really a big Arsenal fan, but I kind of hope he does well.
I definitely, considering, you know, he was one of your ex-players, Derek, and, you know, vast amount of knowledge the guy's got and experience he's got, if you think of the amount of teams that he's played for and the high level he's got. So as you say, I'm not really a big fan of English Premiership as it is, Derek, but, you know, we do wish, you know, all your ex-players well and whatever it is that they do, and we'll wait and see. I think it's a wee bit of poison chalice, that job, so just got to hope that he does quite well.
Yeah. Next thing here is the curse of Gerrard seems to strike again, because our next Europa League opponents, Braga, have sacked their boss as they have dropped to 8th place in the league. So, you know, how many is that in the UEFA?
Quite
Europa
scary,
league?
Yeah.
Yeah. Next thing here is a bit of common sense from a Scottish team for a change. St Johnstone are giving us and Celtic 3 stands when we visit them for the next couple of games. They've tried to fill their ground out with their own fans, had various incentives, but they failed to do so. So they've seen sense, and it's really better for everyone involved. We get more fans and they get more money, which
exactly.
We're willing to give them.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the last piece of football news here is another former player, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, has quit his role in Man City and has become the manager of Chinese Super League side Guangzhou and RNF.
Okay.
So, don't know what that's all about, considering he certainly had a good pedigree when he was at Feyenoord, didn't he? And he seems to be, you know...
I think, I think it could possibly be about the cash, Derek, I think.
Quite probably. I wouldn't have thought he would have needed it, mind you, but certainly, you know, wish him luck all the same.
I think if you're getting offered silly money, which I think would probably be the only way that would tempt him, you'll find that that's exactly what it is. But again, another player, a guy who we were actually, you know, thinking about could potentially be our manager at one stage, so we just have to wish him all the best as well. Fantastic player and, you know, as you say, a successful manager as well, and he's sort of short 10 years in management. So I wish him all the best.
Yep. So, man loses 7-inch bottle up his bum after using it to scratch an itch.
Oh, aye, I bet he did.
An itchy bum hole was an affliction few of us would wish against our enemy, but a man in China made matters considerably worse for himself after he used a 7-inch bottle to scratch the itch before subsequently accidentally losing it up his jacket.
Or is that his excuse, Derek,
I think it was an itch of another kind he was having. The 60-year-old, who understandably has not been named, rocked 60 up at...
60-year-old? 60, oh my yes. God, right.
Rocked up at Dongwan Hospital. You know, quite an apt name, isn't it?
Oh, brilliant, right.
On the 12th of November, after cleaning discomfort in his abdomen, Dr. Jin Jun, the facility's head gastroenterologist, said that the cause of discomfort was soon found around 2 inches inside the man's anus.
Oh, dear.
The hard object in question transpired to be a bottle of Florida cologne measuring 7 inches long and 2 inches wide at its thickest point. Florida water, known in Mandarin as halluciné, is used as a perfume, hand sanitizer, or insect repellent, and an arse scratcher, it seems, as well.
So, in other words, when he farted, it'll smell nice and it keeps insects away.
Quite possibly. Yeah.
Fantastic.
The doctor said, "The patient told me my abdomen hurts. There's something inside. I can't poo or fart." The entire glass bottle was inside his rectum. I could feel the bottle under his abdomen.
Oh my God.
He said his anus was itching. He said, "I was very uncomfortable, so I bought the bottle of Florida water and began scratching the itch. Then the bottle accidentally went up my rectum."
So, I've got an itchy bum. What can I use to scratch it? I know. I'll go out and buy a bottle of aftershave. <That's> exactly.
The doctor said there is more logical ways of treating an itchy anus. He said it's better to seek medical attention and to let the doctor help you than to attempt to resolve similar conditions by buying tools and such things.
Aye, but I don't think that he would have wanted the doctor to itch it with his finger, Derek, let's be honest.
Well, weirdly enough, he's not the first person to go into that hospital with instruments up his arse.
Okay.
Because a guy had to get a glass sphere, which was 3.5 inches wide.
Holy
and
shit.
Had been inserted into his own anus as well.
Okay.
Scratch carefully, friends.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Right, okay.
So, on that note, we will end the podcast there. So, as ever, if you want to go and check out all of our stuff, you can go to our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com, and there you can find the whole gambit of social media links, as well as links to all the classic matches, our match reactions, and such like as well. On YouTube as well, as I said, we have now monetized it, so unfortunately, there'll be a few adverts involved, but if there's any little way that we can help reduce any cost that we've got, which is not great, to be honest, but any little help anyway, and it costs you really a couple of extra seconds. So thanks for watching on YouTube.
Yes, thank you very much.
So until the next time, obviously it won't be until after at least a couple of games, so you're looking probably into maybe the last week of January before we get back to you. So.
Yes, Derek, it's been enjoyable and, you know, it's been a fantastic last few games for us and a great way to start the new year.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So, hope everyone had an enjoyable one like we did, and we will sign off and say thanks for listening and goodbye.
Yes, take care, folks. We will be back soon. Cheers.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.